This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. About 2 weeks ago on RÚV English Radio, we found out about a bicycle run. That doesn't really do it justice. An epic bike ride, a series of bike rides taking place in Iceland, raising funds and awareness for myeloma. And some of those cyclists were racking up about 300 kilometers. That is in my mind today as I talk to Ryan Keeping, who's here in Reykjavik with me. And in a couple of days, it's going to set off on something even more arduous, certainly in terms of the distance. He's going to run the entirety of Route 1, the ring road around Iceland. He's from Halifax in Nova Scotia. He's with me right now, and he's looking very calm given what lies ahead of you.
Yeah, it's a calm before the storm, I guess you say. So yeah. The past few weeks for me, it's just kind of waiting, and I hate that just like sitting around twiddling my thumbs, kind of all the hard training's done, and this is the part where I'm just waiting to start Sunday.
I guess why is where we start.
I started running about 3 years ago. Since then, I've ran across Canada. I know Terry Fox. He was a gentleman in Canada. He ended up getting cancer. He had his leg amputated. He attempted to run across the country. He was like 21 years old when he was doing it. There's a foundation now. So unfortunately, cancer came back. He passed when he was doing it. But it was just an example of someone like, he went and did something crazy. He did something he wanted to do. He chased his passion for that. He's raised nearly $1 billion for cancer now. Yeah. So he was kind of my original inspiration. And even the fact of like, you don't know about him, that's kind of why I wanted to get into this stuff, was like to show people all around the world. Because in Canada, he's a hero. Mm. But so many other places, they don't even know about him, right? So just stories like that. Yeah. And yeah. I've always been fascinated with just pushing my limits, seeing what the body's capable of. And I'll tell you, like, if you just refuse to quit, and you just mentally, okay, I'm going to keep going forward, anything's possible, really. And that's what I learned in my run across Canada of, like, I did 75 kilometers a day for 98 days.
Do the maths for me on that.
It's 7,325 kilometers, I think, was
that
the
coast to coast?
Yeah, coast to coast. So I started in St. John's. I did all of Newfoundland and then just continued on all the way out to BC.
Okay.
And it was, like, a crazy experience of, like, the hardest thing I ever did by far at that point in time. We had, like, barely any crew. It was just my dad driving a van behind me. And we went and did it, and we raised nearly $300,000 for the Heart and Stroke Foundation, because heart disease runs in my family, so we were raising money for that. And Canada kind of came behind it. Like, there was people running with me every day. We did big group runs in cities. Like, in Toronto, we had, like, 1,000 people. And there was people, even the most remote days, driving to come run with me. And pretty well every step, I had people behind me the whole time. I felt like the movie Forrest Gump, where everyone was following them. And yeah, it was crazy. This, the journey and social media took off, and it just inspired a lot of people. And I was lucky to chase my dreams on that. And it's kind of put me in a spot now where I can come do this.
That was 7,500 kilometers or thereabouts.
Yeah, 7,000.
The ring road, I think, is about 1,500, so about a sixth of that.
1,400, yeah.
But it's going to bring its own challenges.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely going to bring challenges. I'm excited to see what the journey brings, really. I've never been to Iceland. This is my first time.
So why do you here, then? Why the ring road? Did you see it on the map, or had you heard about it, or what was the attraction?
I've kind of just always been fascinated with Iceland. Like, you see it in movies and stuff, and it just looks like a beautiful place. And yeah, I was just kind of looking at my next journey and something big to do, and I just decided to come here. I looked up what the record was, and I thought, you know what, I can do that myself. So we're planning to try to break that record and try to break it by a few days. So yeah, we have a pretty ambitious goal of 110 kilometers a day. And yeah, we're just going to keep doing that, move forward until it's done.
I'm sure you know that the ring road is basically the populated part of Iceland. It's where it goes. You can also go to the Westfjords in the northwest of the country, not on the ring road at all. So you'll miss that, a very beautiful part of Iceland. But you'll be in all of the main populated areas. And so you'll be looking, I hope, and imagine for some support from people in Iceland as you make your way through the towns and around the country.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, I always say in all these big runs I do, if you want to come run with me, come on down, come run with me. I like meeting new people, and kind of one of the best ways to do that is running. You know, I've met so many good friends now of people when I'm doing a big journey like this. People will come out and do a whole day with me, or someone will come run 10K. And yeah, so I really want support. And even if you're not a runner, just follow the journey, share it on social media. It's an interesting thing, this ultra marathon running. Like, I'm going to be running about 16 to 18 hours a day, moving forward. slow and steady, and it's a wild game. So if you're new to it, I'd love for you guys to follow along for the journey, and we're going to be documenting it, Instagram, Facebook, sure. YouTube, everything. So
we'll put links to all of that up. But you've arrived here on Thursday, which is when we're having our conversation. This all happens on Sunday, so a couple of days from when you hear this. It's pretty wet today. Mm-hmm. You've doubtless heard something about Icelandic weather being very changeable, but I guess if you run across Canada coast to coast, then changeable weather is not something that's going to worry you too much.
Yeah, well, when I started, it was April, and I was in Newfoundland, so it's winter. It was snowing and freezing rain, and I kind of ran through all the crazy conditions, and so I've kind of ran through a little bit of everything and training back home in Canada. I mean, winters are cold, and I've done some 100-milers and stuff like that in the freezing cold. And in Canada, it was like every weather possible. There was days where it was minus 20 degrees Celsius, and then there was days where it was 30 degrees, like positive, mm-hmm. when I was out in BC, because I finished in July. So it was like every different type of weather possible. So. Yeah. I think I should be ready for Iceland, and we'll see what it brings. And sometimes the days when it's raining really hard or it's really cold, it's almost in some way better for social media, because people are almost like, oh my God, is he going to keep going?
Yeah.
So we found, like, when I was doing Canada, we get a lot of donations, or a lot of people would be tuning in on days when it was really bad weather. And it looks cool in the video, and, you know, it makes for a good story, and it'll make me look cool in the documentary we're filming, no doubt, I guess. Yeah.
So you've got support in the sense that there's a team that will be following you. In fact, two of the guys are here filming what we're doing just now. How does it work in terms of the logistics? Do you book your accommodation in advance, or do you just sleep where you drop? Have you got an idea of where you're going to be staying?
Yeah, so that falls on my team, and luckily I have an amazing team. So really, when I come do this stuff, my job is just to run. I got my task, and my task is to move the distance I have to move each day. And luckily, my team knows the campsites we're at. My coach, he's going to be cooking all the meals, so we're going to be meal prepping everything. And I got the film guys that are going to be doing my social media and stuff. So it's the team makes it everything, right? And even as I said, when I ran across Canada, like, my dad basically put his life on pause and drove the van for 3 months with me, and almost lost his job doing it. Luckily, his boss understood and let him take some time off. But the crew is everything, right? If I came here and tried to do this by myself, there's no way. I need this crew with me, and I need the support, and they keep me moving.
With the focus on this and the focus on you as you do this incredible thing in Iceland, do you hope that it brings some attention to the charities that you've supported before? Because it's part of the story.
Yes, 100%. And I always support, like, we did the Heart and Stroke Foundation last time, and I like the Terry Fox Foundation as well. There's a bunch of different foundations I've done things for. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I always want people to think of them. And then on top of that, just try to inspire people, live their best life, you know? Mm.
So you start bright and early on Sunday in the city centre at Hallgrímskirkja, 6 o'clock in the morning.
The record is 16 days, 10 hours.
Okay, yeah, so you're looking to shave a sizable chunk off that.
Yeah, I'm looking to, whenever I go do this stuff, I always want to really push myself. So I did the Canada, I did 75 kilometers a day when I was doing that. So I should be able to do quite a bit more during this. It's less time, you know, less distance. So yeah, we're going to try to crush the record, and just push it as hard as I can.
What you might not have had in Canada, in fact, what you wouldn't have had in Canada when you stopped off every evening, was the chance to relax and unwind and soak those aching muscles in a geothermal swimming pool. You're doubtless aware you can do that pretty much everywhere in Iceland.
Yeah, we were actually talking about that today. Like, is there any of them that are, like, too hot? Like, you know what I mean? Or are they just off the side of the highway and there's...
Well, yeah, the ones that are in the wilds, you probably want to be very careful about. There are some. But even the smallest village, the smallest town in Iceland, will have its own swimming pool with water heated to about 40, 41 degrees.
Oh, no way.
So you'll struggle to stop somewhere that doesn't have one of those pools.
Okay. Well, I'll be hitting that up every night then. I know personally I like cold plunges too. So
well, we've got those too.
I could get in the cold water and then go into the warm, right? So yeah, that'll be awesome. Like, I'm just so excited to see this country. Like, I've seen it in movies and stuff before, but I've never actually experienced it, and I'm going to get to experience the whole thing.
Like, and you think it's going to be a bit like Newfoundland?
I think so, yeah. To be here, it seems kind of similar with, I would say, the weather and probably the landscape somewhat too, yeah. And Newfoundland was relatively hilly, so yeah, it could be something like that. But honestly, I don't know. It could be completely different. And that's kind of the fun part about this. Like, I just get to experience the whole thing on my feet. It's a crazy way to see an entire country. But like, imagine that, you get so much time, like endless time to be running, and you're kind of really taking it in, right? So I get to see the whole thing.
What will you eat on this trip? Because I'm tempted to think that if you're doing and running 110 kilometers a day, then in terms of calories, you can eat whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
I suspect that's not exactly true.
Kind of is. I mean, I'm going to be burning like over 10,000 calories a day.
Wow.
So, okay. I mean, I couldn't just eat strictly ice cream. I guess maybe I could.
You could.
I'll try to mix it up. But no, sometimes you got to eat just like dirty food. Like you got to eat ice cream, cake, just anything that's high in calories. I'll be doing like mass gainer shakes. Kind of one of the good things about this is like you can do this and eat candy and do whatever you want. So you can kind of eat like a pig when you run this much. So to a certain extent, like you monitor the diet, but more than anything, it's just I got to eat as much as
you go get calories in.
Yeah, because like I'm sure when I'm doing this, I'll lose weight because to try to eat 10,000 calories a day, especially when you're moving, it's not easy.
But it doesn't look like you've got much weight to lose as it is.
No, that's the thing, right? Like when I did Canada, I think right now I'm probably 185 pounds. When I finished Canada, I was like 168 pounds. So I lost quite a bit, right? And it's hard because you can kind of, you almost get in a deficit with it, and then you kind of get stomach issues sometimes.
Yeah.
So really, it's you got to try to stay on top of it from day one. Like that first day, you got to try to be stuffing yourself to maintain, and then at a certain point you're kind of just aware your appetite might go and you do what you can do and you just move forward. And it's a wild experience when you do this. It's almost like I try to explain it, of like it feels like in a certain way you're slowly dying. You know you're not, because there's an end date, but it's like each day gets a little bit harder.
Does it get harder as it goes? I'd have thought that you know, like the light at the end of the tunnel, you've got a sense that the end date is within sight and that would make it easier, but no.
In a certain way, it kind of does. Like, for instance, when I did Canada, the first 2 weeks were probably the hardest. And then you kind of just hit a point where it's almost like your body is trying to reject what you're doing. Like, what are you doing? And you get weird aches and pains and stuff. Then you hit a point where you kind of plateau, but it's still like you're getting a little worse each day, especially with like the sleep deprivation. So I do a lot of my training, like I'll go run say 100K run or an 80K run overnight. So I try to get used to that sleep deprivation, because that's a hard one when you're doing this and say I'm only maybe getting 5 hours of sleep a night. I'm used to it in my training.
Yeah.
So I've done quite a bit of that, but yeah, it's just a wild game this ultra stuff is, man, and I love it. It's my passion. It's my purpose.
You've got a couple of days before you kick off early on Sunday morning. What do you want to see? What are you planning to do in Iceland with what I'm going to call your spare time?
Yeah. I think we want to try to see some waterfalls maybe.
Okay.
And we just got in this morning, so me and my whole crew haven't really slept there last night, so we'll get a good sleep tonight. And yeah, I don't know, just explore around. And what should I see?
Well, you talk about the waterfalls. You should certainly head out to Gullfoss, I guess, which is it's on what we call the Golden Circle. You'll find lots of other visitors there as well. It is certainly a waterfall.
Okay, well, I'll check that out. And if anyone's listening to this, go check my Instagram and there'll probably be a video of me running by the waterfall or something super cool. So yeah, we'll do that. And then other than that, just try to eat some good food and hang out and get some sleep and yeah, just enjoy Reykjavik, explore around and yeah, get ready.
Fish, lamb, potatoes, we do all those very well here. Okay. Is that the kind of calorie dense stuff you'll be interested in?
Oh, 100%. I love potatoes. Okay. Potatoes are good. Fish is good. Yeah, I heard something about hot dogs here. Someone was telling me that the hot dogs are really good.
Greatest hot dogs in the world. Pilsur.
Well, I love hot dogs, especially when I'm doing these ultra marathons. Sometimes that's just like my cheat food, is I'll go get gas station hot dogs or something. So I'll have to try some of them out.
You're in the city center here. You're quite close, actually, to the famous hot dog stand, which is at the other end of Tryggvagata. It's very close to where we're sitting just now. So head along there for sure if a hot dog is what you want. Pilsur et methutl, which means one with everything.
Okay.
If you want all the toppings.
Okay. I'll have to try to learn some terms, and I can show some stuff out in my Instagram, and maybe I'll do a post trying to talk in Icelandic.
Takk fyrir is thank you.
Okay.
So if you encounter kindness on your run, that's something you can say.
Oh, and I'm sure I'm going to encounter a lot of kindness. I know when I was doing Canada, like people were driving me food and letting me stay at their house, and like it was crazy, the support. And I would assume it'd be very similar here. It seems very community based, and I think people will really help, and that means the world to me, right? If anyone's listening to this and if they can help in any way, or I want people to get involved and be a part of this journey, right?
Which way are you going, clockwise or anti-clockwise?
Going north first.
So you're going north first, you're going clockwise. Okay, so that'll give people an idea of where you're likely to be and when. Basically, you hope for 13 days from Sunday, running the ring road clockwise, you'll be returning to Hattlekrimskirkja at the end of the run.
Yeah, the exact same spot. So we're going to, I know we're going to set up a little finish line when I finish there. So I partnered with Camp Easy, van rental company.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're doing like this big finish line for us. And luckily they gave us the vans too. So yeah, it's awesome. We got some good partners on this. And yeah, we're going to be finishing back back at the church. And I'll moving a little bit slower.
Yeah.
And I'll finish at the church. And then I'll probably hang out in one of the hot tubs. Or
do you realize that site's going to torment you because it's so big, it's so tall, you can actually see it from many kilometers away from the city. So you're probably, if you're coming back in on the south coast, you might well see it 10 or 15 kilometers before you actually get there. Will that spur you on, or will that just be depressing?
No, at that point in time, you're excited, you're near the end, and you're moving with everything you got to get there, especially with this where it's for a record, right? World record. I'm going to be really trying to push at the end to get the best time I possibly can. And we went north first. It gets a lot of the elevation out of the way at the beginning, so we get a lot of the hills and stuff, and then it seems to be quite a bit more flat near the end, but it seems like there's nothing really there from what I can tell. On like the back half of my run, it seems to be pretty isolated compared to the first half.
Yeah, so in the second half, you'll be in the east of the country, in the southeast of the country. And the ring road it's a lot twistier there. In fact, when I first came to Iceland in 1998, on our first ever trip, we drove around the ring. Didn't run, we drove around the ring road. About a third of it was still gravel surfaced.
Okay.
You're never going to be completely away from civilization, I would say, if you're on the ring road, but there are certainly parts that are quieter. Yeah. And I'm not sure that you'll avoid uphill stretches entirely once you've cleared that first section.
There still will be some, but I've looked at the elevation map, and luckily you can kind of get a good chunk of it done at the beginning, which helps. You know, you got fresh legs to get that done, and then a little bit more flat on the way home.
Come back to me on that when you're coming out of Hvergerði, rising up into Hellisheiði, which is quite close to the finish.
Okay.
You will curse yourself for thinking that.
I can only imagine the wind is going to be, would be very windy here, right?
Does the wind behind help?
Oh, yeah, if it's behind, it's great. That definitely helps. But there's some days, Newfoundland in particular, like I said, kind of reminds me of here, very windy. There was some very windy days, and when it's at your back, it's great.
Yeah.
If it's blowing in your face, it feels like you're on a treadmill.
Well,
like you're getting nowhere.
Brilliantly, here in Iceland, we say that if you don't like the weather, wait 15 minutes. I mean, the wind direction could change in 5 minutes, so you'll be fine.
Yeah, I can tell. And it seems to call for like rain each day, but not that much. It doesn't seem. It says like 50% chance every day, so I'm sure I'll get caught in some big storms, and then it'll stop, and we'll be back again.
Again, I would trust that at your peril.
Yeah. I'm sure it switches and switches all the time, but
it does.
You know what? Like I said, the bad weather, kind of the viewers like it.
Indeed.
And honestly, I like it too, because it's a challenge, and when I go do this stuff, it's like I put myself in the mindset of this is going to be horrible every day and everything's going to hurt, but I'm going to do it with a smile, right? And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and kind of anything other than that, like I'll just pretend it's going to rain every day.
What is the perfect running weather then? If you could choose the temperature and the conditions each day, what would be ideal?
10 to 15 degrees, light breeze.
Yeah.
I would say, that would probably be ideal. But honestly, like, I do enjoy running in heat, and I enjoy running in the cold. It's just, I like it all. I like the challenge of everything. But, I mean, for ideal race conditions, it would be like 10, 15 degrees.
I think that's one thing we can probably promise you on most days. Good. As you enter September here in Iceland, 10 to 15 is the range that most days are going to be in. Can't promise anything else, but we can maybe suggest that's a strong possibility.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, like, I trained all summer in Canada. It was pretty hot where I was training, right? So it's good to come here, and you know what, it could snow, it could rain, it could hail. I'm gonna get the record done.
I've no doubt at all. Ryan, thank you very much. Best of luck. Don't think you're gonna need it.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we'll have to get a hot dog or something when I'm
sure,
celebrate.
Sure.
Yeah.
So all the links that you mentioned there, you can follow along with this journey. We'll post all of those on the page accompanying the show from Ruv English Radio. My name's Darren Adam, and you can get in touch anytime. We're english@ruv.is.
There's more from Ruv English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Ruv English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Ruv.